yesterday, the day before. We're talking to Dr. Robert Kelsey, Jr., in his home in Monticello, Kentucky. Dr. Kelsey was public health officer in the county of Wayne from during approximately the latter 30s and early 60s, through the early 60s.
No, it was beginning September 1940 through June 1975.
All right, that's fine. Then who followed Dr. Roberts?
I believe I did. There may have been somebody in between there. I don't recall exactly.
What I'd like to do first is to get something of your background, where you grew up and where you went to school and why you came back here.
Well, I grew up at a little community called Gap Creek, which is 15 miles southwest of Monticello, right on the Clinton County border. I went to school there, to a one-room school initially, and then high school beginning about in the late 20s up to Windy High School, which at that time was in its second year. Then from there I went to Clinton County High School down to Albany for one or two semesters, and then transferred to Monticello High School, where I finished in 1931.
Your college and medical training?
Well, my first year of college was over at Cumberland College in Williamsburg, Kentucky. I was there 1 year. At that time it was a junior college. Then I went to Eastern, what is now Eastern Kentucky University, for about three semesters. And then while a student there, I was accepted at the University of Louisville School of Medicine. However, I went delayed going a year after my acceptance to complete the third year of college, which was done at the University of Kentucky. For the most part, I guess I studied more pre-law than I did pre-medicine.
Is that right? Were you interested at that time in pursuing law?
That's right. I hadn't quite made a decision on which profession to go into. I was considering becoming maybe a lawyer, then I changed over to medicine. Perhaps my parents or relatives persuaded me to make a choice.
Attend what medical school did you attend after graduating, undergraduate?
University of Louisville.
Of course, yeah. The school at UK was not in existence.
No. That was beginning in, I graduated in 39 at Louisville, so that was 4 years prior to that I entered medical school.
Did you graduate in the public health? Did you graduate with a public health medical degree, or did you get a general?
No, it was just a MD degree. That was just basic training. Mm-hmm. No, it had no connection, or very little training in public health.
Mm-hmm. How did it come to be that you got this job here initially?
Well, there was a vacancy at the time I finished my junior internship, which was at Kentucky Baptist hospital there in Louisville. And so after a few weeks, special training, I guess it would be called, there was a vacancy here, and so it was accepted just as a more or less a trial. I mean, that was I really had no intention of staying, I guess, as I recall.
And this was in the year 1940?
Yeah, 1940.
Mm-hmm.
September 1940, I began as a health officer here in Wayne County.
Could you comment a bit on some of your predecessors, just generally about and what they were, what type of role they performed when we first got a board here, health board, and what type of programs they may have had? Just know you weren't directly involved in, but you were in the county or around this area.
I don't recall very specifically about what the programs were at that time, except it concerned school health. Immunizations were a big part of the program, of the general program. Venereal diseases, of course, and at that time in public health, it was just more or less a catch-all. I didn't have too much of a clear concept of what the role would be.
Then when you started your work, what type of programs, what programs were you all engaged in at that point in the 40s, just before we went to war?
Well, as I mentioned, school health was certainly a very important part, and that at that time there were several rural schools, one-room schools, two-room, and a few two-room schools besides the city school, and the county high school was not in existence at that time. There were two, maybe three high schools within Wayne County that were later consolidated into the Wayne County High School system. And during the summer months, during the warm weather, the school usually started either in July or August, most of the time in July, I believe, at that time. And we made the most of through July, through into October and November, school visits during the warm weather.
Mm-hmm. And what type of thing did you do at the schools?
As I already mentioned, I believe immunizations, typhoid fever, of course, was rather prevalent back at that time. And we did what is now DPT immunizations for the children. And of course, it was somewhat of a community gathering place that the rural schools were, because the parents would attend these clinics too. It was mainly for immunization, and there were a few examinations done, or just met what seemed to be the most urgent needs: crippled children, sometimes located, or handicapped children. There were no specific programs or projects to screen the children at that time, as later happened. But
just sort of an informal screening procedure.
Yes,
if someone was having trouble with the eyes, or
that's right. There were some visual referrals and hearing referrals and referrals to what was in the Crippled Children's Commission. They were sent. The greater part of them were sent to Louisville for surgery and other follow-up.
Did the department at that time deal in much in terms of drainage and things like that to for the total environment? Was that a part of?
Well, that was a part of it, but a rather small part. That came to be more important. Testing the water supply, that was usually done, it was the environmental part of it came later. That was at least a small part at the time that I started working.
I understand that typhoid fever was really very prevalent and was a horrible disease. Were there any other diseases that were infectious diseases that were pretty prevalent?
Well, the usual childhood diseases of measles, mumps, and whooping cough were quite prevalent back in those days. And of course, later we had epidemics of polio. and there was effort made to, but at that time there was no measles vaccine, either type of measles. That came later on, but we immunized for diphtheria and whooping cough. Whooping cough was rather prevalent back in those days. I mentioned measles, which reminds me that some mothers would, if their children were healthy, they would try to let them catch the disease, so to speak, so they'd be protected from it at later day.
Sounds like there was a good relationship with people in these communities that y'all had when you'd go out to the clinics. Was this usually a pretty positive thing? The people were very anxious to receive help?
Yes, the response was really quite good most of the time. Of course, there was, I failed to mention smallpox vaccination. That was a mandatory procedure. There was some opposition there. Some parents were opposed to any kind of immunization that was against their practice or against their religion, so to speak, or they had several excuses or alibis that didn't want to participate, and they would be there to see the children did not get the shot, so to speak.
But that's an interesting area to me. I think would be an interesting area to a lot of people in terms of total health, the way people perceive health care. In that regard, could you talk a little bit about the relationship you have? I know, being a native here, you know of some of the folk practices and home remedies, not only home remedies, but herb doctors and root doctors, this type of thing. What was kind of the relationship did you have with those types of people? And
well, we got along pretty good, I guess. I'm pretty sure that the medicine man, so to speak, was still prevalent back in these hills, because at that time it was quite remote and the roads were not anything to brag about. So we had to make the most of the summer season, so to speak, the warm weather, to get to these out-of-the-way places. They were, well, I guess what you'd call a jumping-off place, up the holler and over the hill, so to speak. I just happened to think of a story that I think will illustrate the attitude of some of the people, which doesn't answer your question specifically. I have to think a little more about that. But this supposedly happened, oh, I guess 40 or 50 years ago in adjoining county here, Clinton County. There was a supervisory teacher, I guess was her title. She might have been called something else, but she visited the different schools, and the school system there was very similar to the one here in this county. So this was during July or August, and it was during the noonday recess. She drove her car up to the school, and the kids were scattered about over the playground in little groups, and this little six-year-old who just started to school, he saw her get out of the car, and she was carrying a bag, a little black bag. And he watched her very closely with his eyes as she got out and went toward the schoolhouse. And as she entered, he said to his playmates, says, "Look out, boys, I'm going home. Here comes that shooting woman." he thought it was a nurse, the kind of nurse.
<That's good. laughs> Y'all did have a program of training for midwives, didn't you?
Yes, Dr. Teague, who was here a few years earlier. Dr. Teague is a Kentucky native, and he later became a commissioner of health. He started work here, I believe, is the way it is. He had a rather extensive program on for training for midwives. I believe he had perhaps as many as 40 or 50. That may be exaggerated somewhat, but I've seen some pictures of the...
Dr. Roberts says there are some pictures somewhere. I'd love to get those pictures and get a copy of it, of the midwives and the training program.
Well, I think I have a little pamphlet that was published a few years ago.
Right.
It was about the time Dr. Teague retired at Frankfurt, and I think it gives that picture you're referring to. I believe it does. We'll look and see.
Fine. So there was a broad network of midwifery that was going on here before medicine.
Because there were very relatively few physicians, I guess not more than at that particular time in the early 40s, not more than three or four at the most active doctors in the county, and there was no local hospital, of course, most of the births were at home, and it was whoever happened to be the neighborhood midwife attended, or relatives of the family, of course.
This was it. Heard said that there was kind of a gathering when the birth, not just the midwives, but women that friends would come and to.
Oh, yes.
A good group of people there.
That's quite true.
Do you have any direct remembrance of that?
Not too vivid, because I didn't participate in that too much. Mm-hmm. And we made some effort, I guess, to train the midwives, but no formal program per se, and not at that time, not in the beginning of the 40s, but perhaps a little bit later. We made some effort to train them. We would have them come in and, of course, report their births, the birth certificate. The clerk at the health department was also the local registrar, and I guess I acted as deputy too, and we would assist them in filling out the birth certificates.
Did you begin to develop some kind of prenatal care emphasis at that point?
Well, not really, I guess. We had some so-called clinics, but most of it was referral, I guess, from the midwives or from the visits we made, but we didn't have any formal program per se of prenatal care or prenatal clinics at that time. That came a little bit later.
When did you move to Atwood?
To where?
When did you leave your position as officer, medical officer?
I believe I said that began here in September 1940. Then, 2 years later, the counties of Wayne and Clinton County were added on, or I just became the health officer of the three counties. Each was a separate unit. It wasn't a regional setup or district setup as exists now. Each was just a separate entity to itself, and just served here half time in Wayne County, and the other half was split between the counties of Clinton and Cumberland, or that's the way it's supposed to have been, and that's the way it existed for the next 25 years or so.
Could you talk about the home remedy type things? Did people, even in the 40s, still practice quite a bit of home medicine, various remedies and things?
Well, I assume they did, because they did not have access to the physicians as they do now. because of the roads and communication. Then I recall this happened somewhat several years prior to that. There were several medicine men, so to speak, or traveling salesmen or drummers, they're sometimes called, that made the rounds through the county and adjoining counties, selling home remedies of liniment and laxatives and it was a sort of a traveling drugstore, I guess, in a sense. One of my uncles, I remember, worked for a sold Raleigh products, and then I knew of another man who worked at a similar position about that same time, about the same time period.
That's very interesting. Not only did they not have ready access to physicians, but not even to drugstores. There was more
the only drugstores, of course, were each county seat had a drugstore, and that was it, or it had one or more. You usually at least two. I believe there were two here at that time, two drugstores.
Are you acquainted with the Griffin community?
Yes, I've been there, and that's been several years ago, so I don't have too much recollection of it's in the eastern part of the county near the McCreary County line, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, I know, but that's been more than 20 years ago, and I don't think I've been back since then.
I'm
pretty sure back in the 40s and the 50s there was a rural school and in that area that we visited, but that was, I guess, from here at least 15, maybe 20 miles.
Exactly, it's 25 miles.
Oh, really?
The reason I know something about it, the brief time I've been here, is that I was searching to interview some type of folk practitioner, you know. Because I feel like there should be somebody that could give me a more first-hand experience type of testimony on that type of health care. And someone said that the gentleman by the name of Clark Stonewall was type.
I went back
way back in the eastern part toward McCreary County, and way off the roads and then down a wagon road and then got off and went down through the wilderness to the creek over a swinging bridge and everything, and met this fella and interviewed him, and he is, I guess you'd say, he's a unique character. He wasn't exactly what I was looking for, because he is not really practiced too much. But he seems, and of course I'm not have no knowledge as a physician, I don't know that much about just general history of health. He seemed really knowledgeable about things. He's quite a character. He claims to have done some study in Germany, in medicine, and he's really into the organic, you know, things, herbs and barks and things, and is quite, I guess you would almost say, hostile toward what he calls the inorganic approach to medicine, and he doesn't really apparently practice what he preaches, I guess you'd say, in the community, because he's sort of a hermit. Uh-huh. He just sort of lives out there, and it's strange. Have you ever heard of the guy?
I've heard of him, and I don't recall ever having met him.
I can see why you wouldn't, because I don't think he comes out very often.
I doubt that he does. I've heard about him back some time ago, but I really don't know anything about him except just hearsay.
People down at the library were fascinated by him. You could tell they were, almost to the point of being kind of, I guess, kind of hold him in awe. Apparently, he comes into the library from time to time, and he apparently is a well-read person, and they kind of hold him in awe, and they were surprised that I got an interview with him. I was somewhat disappointed because I don't think he's typical, but he is an interesting character. And I would like to deal with a more typical herb doctor, person that can remember back in the 20s and 30s when they were more prevalent. I'm going to keep trying. Hopefully in one of these three county areas I can get such a person to interview, because I'd like to get different perceptions on health care.
Yes. Well, I've heard about him. It's just about all, and I don't recall ever having seen him or met him, or I know I haven't talked with him. Mm-hmm. I just heard about him. It's about all I could say. It does sound rather interesting and fascinating, at least.
He's an intelligent fellow, and he's one of these type people. When you talk to him, you don't know what to believe, what not to believe, and I don't in any way disparage what he says. I mean, if I have to take what he says and have no way of knowing, but he's about 83 years old, and he's full of vitality.
Yeah, I've heard he's quite a character.
Well,
but I haven't heard him. That's the first time I heard him mentioned now in the past 5 years or so.
But I was just really interested in that when the people at the library gave me the directions on how to get to his place, they put in the old Griffin community. Uh-huh. And I guess I had my hopes up, well, here I was going to find a guy that was really into that community health care type thing. But it didn't appear that to be. It's the reason I asked you the question about the Griffin community, because I don't think he's that much related to that community, although he plopped right in the middle of them, but doesn't seem to have been that related to what went on there. But I'd like to pursue it if there was somebody in that community that was into folk type medicine. I'd like to pursue it, but I might not be able to. So, hard part to get at. Was there, while you were in the health department, was there a beginnings of centralizing from just a county to a multi-county? You mentioned that you worked these three counties, but they seem were somewhat autonomous though, or?
Right.
But now this moved to sort of a regional approach, hadn't it?
That began perhaps as early as 20 years ago, for I don't recall the exact date, but there was at least a trial attempt to, at that time they called it a regional health office, which was an attempt to, it was a forerunner of what is called a district concept now, that seems to be pretty well taken care of at the present time.
What is the district here? It's headquartered in Somerset?
Yes, the headquarters is Somerset. It's called the Lake Cumberland District and includes 10 counties, I believe. Are supposed to include 10 counties, which includes Pulaski County, of course, and Wayne County, McCreary County would be the eastern border of that district, going on over to Greene County and Taylor and on the western side.
Mm-hmm. It's almost probably parallel to the library organization, which
I think so. It's supposed to follow those 12 or 15 regions that was set up in the state, in Kentucky a few years ago.
Back to this sort of theme of the midwifery that was here early, and which is apparently pretty well just about completely faded out, hadn't it?
Yes, it's just about gone. I recall thing just recently, the death of one of the women who was active as a midwife back 25 years ago. She was in her late 80s, died just last month, I guess.
What did, I'm also under the impression that in the earlier period before the transportation improved, the doctors themselves delivered a lot of babies in the home.
Oh, yes, established practice then. They didn't get too much prenatal care, but of course they would call when the birth was due, and they'd go spend an hour or 2 hours or even 3 or 4 hours for the delivery.
When did that begin to change? What years did that begin to change? What factors do you think were involved in the switch from the home to a hospital or clinic?
Well, I don't know about the time period, but it's when local hospitals became a reality. That was a hospital were practice.
You mentioned Dr. Teague. Could you give me just a little bit of background on Dr. Teague and when he came here?
Well, he came here in either the late 20s or early 30s. And he was here in 1931 he graduated from University of Louisville in 29, then was in general practice for a while at Bardstown, Kentucky, and he became health officer in Wayne County in 1931 and left here in 33 to go to graduate school at Johns Hopkins. And from there, he came back to Kentucky and was a health officer in the Paducah McCracken County Health Department. Then beginning in 1940, he was employed in the what was in the State Department of Health as the director of the Division of Venereal Disease, and he also served in the Division of Tuberculosis Control. Then in the mid-40s through about 1955, he was in the U.S. Public Health Service, where he was in the New York Regional Office as a assistant director. And then from New York, he went to Pennsylvania as the what was called the Secretary of Health. Then beginning in 1956 through 1970, he was the Commissioner of Health in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. This is just a summary of his involvement in public health. I first knew him when he was health officer here in the early 30s. I graduated from high school in 31, I believe I mentioned that, and then of course I was away until 39, or well until 1940.
Is there a, do you see a real problem of developing a strong program of preventive medicine under with the basically semi-private system we have?
No, I think that is one of the neglected aspects of medical services. It's not completely neglected, but it hasn't been hasn't had the emphasis it should have or could have. Beginning a few years ago, there was a quite an emphasis from the federal level on the HMOs, the health maintenance organizations, which were primarily private medicine, but was heavily subsidized. That hasn't been too successful, particularly in Kentucky. I've noticed that the Hunter Foundation, that was the one I'm most familiar with, that's based in Lexington.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. I'm a member of that, and I have been reading in the paper and about the what's happening. I know it's become a pure HMO when it was before more of a OEO type thing where it was poverty, but it's been converted to that, and it seems like there's some kind of movement to make those more universal. Do you know anything about that?
No, I'm not too well acquainted with them. I've just read about them, and I happen to know of one doctor who I knew when he was director of the TB hospital over at Glasgow, that's since been converted to other uses. He lives either in Lexington or in that area, and this was about 3 or 4 years ago. He was associated with the HMO there in Lexington, the Hunter Foundation, I believe it's called, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's one of the stronger in the state, and then there's one in Louisville. And there seems to be some kind of a movement. I'm not sure what they have in mind, but there's change going on in that area. But it's always been amazing to me in terms of preventive medicine. I wonder sometimes if it, I don't know whether it's the lack of institutionalization for it or whether it's the perception of the patient, whether we are, as a culture, we're very conscious of preventive approaches to caring for ourselves.
This may be a myth, but I guess most people are. That seems to be the general concept, that they don't think of a doctor or a physician or hospital until they're become ill or injured. It's more or less an emergency.
Well, that's kind of my perception. Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe it stems to the fact that being a frontier so long and so many of us living in remote areas, maybe we just learn to, through home remedies and things, to care for ourselves until we got really ill. And now that we're not remote anymore, we've not learned anything else.
I guess there's something to that, I'm pretty sure.
And now I don't think we know how to care for ourselves as well as our ancestors did, really.
Well, we maybe have it too easy.
Yeah, probably. Now this is a book on obstetrics and all types about the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. This book was
right.
From is a publication of the for a practitioner at that
yes,
time.
Yes, I assume at that time it was more or less it was used, I guess, as a perhaps for medical students about that time. Turn of the century, and then as a reference to practitioners.
Where do most people now, for the children to be delivered, where do they go? Do they?
Well, I guess in this particular area that most of them go to Somerset. There are no local obstetricians per se. Well, I believe there's one now who's been here. He's a native and he's been here for the past 3 or 4 years. I guess the greater part of the deliveries are done in Somerset.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty specialized hospital over there, isn't it?
I'm not too familiar with it, but I assume it's just would be classified as a general hospital. They have the usual departments or divisions of services.
You don't know anyone over there, do you, that could interview that would be...
Oh, in regard to the prenatal care and so forth?
Not necessarily prenatal, just the whole general medical care that's available there.
Well, one of the older practitioners there is Dr. Jasper. He's the son. His father died not too long ago in his 90s. And I'm pretty sure he could tell you quite a bit. And then Richard Weddle, who is a surgeon, he is one about my age or perhaps a little bit older. He's still active.
Well, that should be very helpful. I'm sort of getting the picture that Somerset is probably the center of medical care, especially for illnesses, serious illnesses, and births. Would that probably be for both McCreary County and Wayne?
And Pulaski and the adjoining counties,
above.
Too,
mm-hmm.
north of there,
mm-hmm.
and east and west, too. The Russell County is the another adjoining county that has recently added a hospital. It's been there 2 or 3 years, is all. The first county in this area specifically to have a local hospital was Clinton County.
And when did the hospital, when was it established here in Wayne County?
That was back about 10 years ago.
And before that, what kind of clinics or small hospitals did you have in the county?
Well, going back to the 40s, even before that, I recall there was a Dr. O.M. Carter, who I believe is a native of this county. He was a general practitioner and I guess did some surgery, some emergency work, of course. I recall working one summer with him while I don't recall whether I was in college or it was between one of my terms, one of the school terms in medical school. He had a so-called hospital, or he had rooms. He had a big frame house, and his second floor was, his first floor was, besides his living quarters, had office, and then upstairs was some rooms, just ordinary beds that some people would come and stay maybe overnight or for a few days or even as long as a week.
Is that building still in existence?
I don't believe it is. It was right at the southwest edge of town. And I think it's been torn down.
It was for his work, not other doctors. Other doctors didn't bring patients there, did they?
I don't believe they did. I think he was just more or less on his own. He had a so-called nurse. Well, I doubt that she was a registered nurse. I believe this was his wife who acted more or less as an assistant or what we would call a practical nurse now, I guess.
Did you have any public clinic after that, before you got the hospital 10 years ago?
No, I don't recall. There was a beginning about 20 years ago, or perhaps before that, there was a Dr. Simmons here and a Dr. McCarg who were partners. They established what they call the Monticello Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They could advise you as to
mm-hmm.
the specific dates on that
mm-hmm.
when they started.
Is that yeah. building in existence?
Yes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's still operated by Dr. Simmons, who is a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And is that in the downtown area or?
Yes, well, it's adjacent to the downtown area. It's out on Columbia, what we call Columbia Street, about three blocks from the square.
Been reading in the papers that the ambulance service, emergency ambulance service to the central hospital in Somerset is, the finance is kind of breaking down on that. You've been following that, seen that?
Not too closely. That's still quite a problem. There was an article just this week, I believe, in the Courier Journal regarding the financial plight of the ambulance service, and it's applied to all over Kentucky, except, of course, the metropolitan areas of Louisville and Lexington, Paducah, and Warrensburg, and larger cities and towns.
Yes, that is. If a person didn't have an automobile, it's a pretty critical thing to have an emergency service, isn't it?
Yes, most certainly.
The hospital has become more centralized. And too, isn't this a big tourist area, national tourist area, people coming down in the summer?
Yes, since the Lake Cumberland was impounded by, it's become quite a vacation area in the summertime, of course. Well, for year-round, for that matter. And, of course, this is on Kentucky 90, which has been called the park-to-park highway. It's close to Cumberland Falls and then goes on over to Mammoth Cave.
Did you see the article in the paper the other day, last week, about people thinking that goes north and south rather than east?
That's right.
Coming out of here, you certainly think so, because you go north to it and pick it up, yeah. Well, does these rescue squad organizations, I don't know whether they come out of the fire department or what, I guess they serve some emergency medical care, don't they, getting people to hospitals?
Yes, they certainly, that's a rather late development. Going back at least 10 or 15 years ago, most counties and towns, of course, have their rescue squads now. Natural disasters and drownings and things like that.
Is that basically a volunteer?
That's a volunteer organization, as I understand it. I don't know very much about it, really.
Can you think of anything else that might add to it? I know I've gotten to talking about things that I realize you don't know a lot about, but at least you're general and probably more than the average person helpful. But anything else would be, I'd appreciate it, along the lines where you've had direct experience, either when you were young and when you were a student or when you began to practice.
Well,
you ended up your career at Outwood, didn't you?
Oakwood.
Oakwood, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I was up there about a year and a half. I was the first medical director was the title at that time. The organization has changed since then, I'm sure. I recall going to the dedication of it was during the Governor Nunn's term of office, and I was certainly quite impressed with the place. It was very nice looking. It had red carpets and all. And it's quite a contrast to what I'd heard about the old Kentucky Hospital or whatever it was called there in Frankfort. I enjoyed working there. How I happened to get interested in that, classmate of mine who at that time was the, I believe his title was the medical director at Outwood, or no, Hazelwood, Chris Jackson, who was a native of Danville. And he persuaded me to try it out. I enjoyed it.
Reflecting back over all those years you've been involved in medicine, particularly in public work, if you can think of anything, I think I interrupted you there. I have a bad habit as an interviewer. I know you were about to talk about something, and I interrupt you. Feel free to say what you're thinking, reflecting.
Well, back in the early 40s, when I started in public health, I think the general concept then was that more or less a charity medicine. It was supposedly a catch-all to what wasn't taken care of by the private practitioner, which is a misconception, in my opinion, and that was a problem then, and I guess it still is to some extent, but not what it was back, say, in the 40s and 50s.
I can imagine, yeah. That's an interesting thing.
And of course, we've come a long way in conquering the usual childhood diseases. Measles is no longer the problem that it once was, because the immunization level through the mandatory immunization law and the cooperation of the public schools that has eliminated or certainly reduced the problem that was prevalent back 40 and 50 and even 20 years ago.
Was there ever a much problem with tuberculosis? You mentioned Glasgow something.
Mentioning tuberculosis, I always think of Dr. C.C. Howard, who is a surgeon in Glasgow, Kentucky, and the founder of the Howard Clinic there, which is a partnership set up. He was primarily a surgeon, but he was very much interested in tuberculosis control, and that is another problem, or was a problem back several years ago of tuberculosis, because it was quite widespread and endemic in the mountains, and well throughout the state and throughout other states too. But Dr. Howard was instrumental in establishing what was called the district hospital. There were seven or eight of them in Kentucky. One where we were in the Glasgow district for the greater part of the time, and then later transferred to the London district. And of course there were regional or TB hospitals in Paris and London, Glasgow, Louisville, of course, old Hazelwood, or Waverly Hills, I believe it's called. That's where we were sent as medical students for a few weeks training in TB work.
So y'all, when you were in public health officer here, if you had any people with tuberculosis, you'd send them to these district centers and for.
That's right. Those came in being in the 40s and 50s, and it was we had the recalcitrant law that the person. If he was considered an active tuberculosis case and infectious, he could be sent for hospitalization, and that was usually a 4 to 6 months period of time. That reminds me of a story that one of my favorites. It actually happened a few years ago down in Clinton County. Mm-hmm. I'd been working with a fellow called George for almost a year, trying to get him to enter the hospital. I'd made a few visits out to his home and written him letters, and finally I was pretty well fed up with his refusal to respond, and I had guessed made some threatening statements to him that I was going to get the law after him, send him to the hospital. So this happened one summer. It was noontime, and I was cut across the courthouse yard there going to lunch. And George was standing talking with somebody, and he saw me pass by, and then he called to me. He said, "Come here, you SOB." said, "I hear you're going to send me, you're trying to send me to the hospital. I'll have you know that you're not going to do so and so," and with a few words that I can't repeat. So I listened to it for a few minutes, and I said, "George, I said, I'm through with you. I'm not doing anything else. I said, you can just do as you damn please." And the surprising part of the story was what happened just a few weeks after that. I got word from the regular reports from the Glasgow that he had been admitted. So he stayed there for at least 4, maybe 5 months, and then while I was there in the Clinton County Health Department office, one day he came in. He'd never come in, although I'd tried to get him to come to talk with me. But he wouldn't do it, and he came in, and I knew he'd been was back home, and he said, "I've got something to tell you." I said, "Well, I'm glad to see you. How are you getting along?" And he said, "Just fine." He said, I just wanted to say something." He said, I want to thank you for talking to me the way you did."
That's a beautiful story. That's it's that old stubbornness is in the culture.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to hit somebody over the head.
Yeah, that's getting George to do it, and he finally did.
That's good. What was the eye disease? I want to call it glaucoma, but that was pretty prevalent in the Eastern
trachoma.
Did y'all have much of that much?
Well, I don't know too much about that. That I guess was maybe before my time. I read about it and heard about it, and I recall while I was in school at Richmond, Kentucky, right near the campus there was the old Trachoma Hospital, a Dr. Story. Something like that.
I knew him. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He was in First Baptist. I was minister there for a while. And I knew him not story. Yeah. I wish I could have interviewed him.
He was. Our Floyd. Was his name?
Story. The story. Dr. Story.
Dr. Story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's right.
Yeah,
after all.
Yeah.
No. Evidently, that was quite a problem back in those days. That's been over 50 years ago, but so far as recall having seen a case, I don't know that it can. Evidently, it's a thing of the past now. I'm pretty sure it still exists in some places, but certainly no problem like it was 50 or 60 years ago.
This misconception you talk about in terms of public medicine preventive approaches is something that it does seem to be a real obstacle. And people often wonder if people really know where to go, even if a service is available. Did you find that to be true in your practice, that people sort of didn't know how to go get through the bureaucracy to get to or afraid to come in?
I'm sure that existed.
Or some kind of stigma that it was charity.
That's right. And I think it is was one reason that the public clinics or the clinics held by the health department didn't have better attendance, because that was considered maybe for the lower class or people who couldn't pay or wouldn't pay, and they weren't utilized as much as they could have been, and I guess that still is a situation even today.
Even with more money going into it and more services being offered, there's probably the same perception is there.
I'm sure that still exists.
Certainly enjoy talking with you. If think we got some good information, thank you very much for helping me.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.